I'm Lois.
And I'm Stacy.
And you are listening to Whose Girl Are You? Today we have a guest in our virtual studio. And that is so exciting. It's been a while since we've done an interview. So
a long
this
while.
Is going to be a fun, fun day. Our guest today is Renee. And so we are going to talk about music, church music, Christian music, contemporary music, hymns. We're going to talk about all the music for the church, for Christians, for worship, for meditation, kind of. Some songs are like prayers. So we're going to talk about all the things church music with Renee.
But first. Whose girl are you?
Yes.
I am Jay and Diane's daughter, one of their youngest.
So you grew up out west.
Youngest of 10.
Not the youngest, one of the youngest.
Oh, okay. I see. Yeah, those big families, they're like, there's multiple families in a family. So yeah. You're on the in the younger group.
Yeah. Apparently, you're one I'm of from the second family.
Yeah, you're one of the little kids.
Yeah.
From the second family.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And grew up on the East Coast?
West Coast.
Grew up on the West Coast. Okay. Yeah. And now you are where?
Now I'm a Uber.
Yeah.
Yeah. There we go. You've arrived, as some people would say.
Yeah.
You made it.
Yeah, yeah. You made it. Congrats.
Thank you. I love it.
So I'm curious, like, how I feel like I'm coming in a little bit blind, which I love, because then I just get to ask a bunch of questions. But you and Lois have probably talked a little bit. There's some kind of link there on why we have you on here talking about music.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, well, so she and I talked briefly.
Okay.
Well, I had told her that I had a podcast idea.
Okay.
Yeah.
For an episode for you.
Yes.
And because I just thought it would be interesting to just discuss church music and why it can be so controversial.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I don't like.
And why is that?
Yeah. Why is that? What is a hymn versus a praise song? Like what the difference is and stuff like that. And she asked if I wanted to be on it as a guest and I said no.
And here you are.
And then she asked again several months later.
Yeah. She's like, guess what? If you want to talk about that, you also have to talk about that.
Yeah.
Because here's the deal, though. None of us are the be-all, end-all of any of these topics that we ever talk about. If you've ever listened to any of our podcasts, we pretty much just like talk about whatever subject we're going to talk about and try to figure it out as we're talking. We don't know. We just start talking and see where it goes and challenge each other on if you don't agree with something that's said or you need more context. And sometimes as I talk, I prove my own self wrong.
Yeah.
That's always fun.
Yeah. Right. You know?
Mm-hmm. If you learn something, it's always worth the time.
It's true.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So I have a feeling, actually, I don't know this, but the church that I know, the church you were raised in, Lois, I'm guessing was only hymns.
Yes. Only hymns.
And only organ.
We didn't even have, we had the organ part of the time when I was growing up.
Okay.
But it became controversial and caused a problem and it was unplugged and it was not used. So we just did a cappella.
Oh.
A lot of my life. From about the time I was 10 on, I would guess 8, 10, something like that. We did just singing. One of the guys would start the song and everybody'd sing together and that was it.
So we had a piano.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the person on the piano also sang, like, led.
Mm-hmm.
And there might have been somebody else. But I don't know if that was in my younger years or if it was more in my teenage years. Right. But that's pretty much how it was. It was just a piano and one or two people singing. That was my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
So how about you, Renee?
I grew up in a church that was piano and organ.
Look at you straddling both sides of the fence.
Look at me go.
So that's mostly organ and then
mostly organ, but on like special occasions, they would have both
yeah.
okay.
together.
special Sundays, Easter Sunday, special services, Christmas Day. Because it takes twice. You put twice as many people on the music team. Now you need twice as many people to fill it up, right?
Okay.
To commit every week. So we didn't. Nobody wanted, and it makes it special when you only do it some of the time. Otherwise, it's just every Sunday is piano and organ or whatever you have. It just becomes normal.
Yeah.
And then what do you do for something special? Well, you got to come up with something else. So that was our special music, was organ and piano together. So I went to the church that Renee grew up in for many years.
She played and I was just in the audience singing.
Yeah, I played the organ some of the time too, and piano.
Okay, current day. Current day now, I attend a church. We have drums, electric guitar, acoustic guitar, synth, piano. What am I missing? Anything else that people want to play?
I've seen
violin played up there, not on our normal worship. That's a special thing.
Yeah.
You know, but we have a full band.
Yeah.
3, 4, 5 vocalists that might lead different songs and sing harmonies and the whole show.
Yeah.
So what currently, where are you guys at?
Our church is still, it's organ and piano, depending on who's playing.
Okay.
Yeah.
And same with you, Lois.
And ours is piano only.
Piano only, no organ.
Yeah, we don't have an organ in Vancouver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We do have special music. Somebody will play guitar with the piano or just by themselves.
Have you been to a church like mine?
Yes, but not very often. Mm-hmm. And I will be honest with you. I am very uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. And why do you think?
Because it feels like a concert to me, not church.
But I think, don't you think that church is what you're used to? Like how you said, like if you do piano every single week or whatever, how do you make it special? Then you put organ in that because it just becomes like rote. So when you, someone that's born and raised in a church like mine that has a full band.
Yeah. They go feels to like organ that's church.
They go to, so when I go to your church, which I love your church. Hi, Jason, if you're listening. But the fact of the matter is I go there and I feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because I don't.
Because it's different.
Because no one's standing up. No one's raising their hands. No one's like expressing in any way. And so I feel like I have to like repress myself a bit.
Yeah.
And like, oh yeah, settle down. Like you're in a different context here, you know?
Calm yourself.
Yeah. Calm yourself. And so it feels odd to me, but not, I wouldn't say wrong, just different.
Mm-hmm.
But you said the way that you said that it feels like a concert, I get a little bit of a hint that you feel like it's maybe a little bit wrong.
I don't know that wrong is the right word. I don't feel like, oftentimes I feel like it's not reverent. And to me, church has to be reverent. It's not a place to like party it up. It's like something that you take.
It should be somber.
Well, not sad, but seriously, like taken seriously. Like this is very important. So if you're going to do it right, do it well. I believe that.
So you did it again. So do it right. So it's a right and a wrong, I feel.
Well,
like.
It's, I feel like, okay, so I feel
a little
like
bit.
Music is enough. It brings up enough emotion in people that it needs to be done carefully. Like you don't just willy-nilly say, you know, we're going to sing, I don't know, like trying to think of a song that's just like not even a church song at all. Like
clap your hands, all you people, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. No, how about that?
No, that's a God song. I'm just singing about
God. But
that's God,
super
right?
peppy. I don't know if it's.
Yeah, but peppy's not it. That's not what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about is when you.
An irreverent, but I'm trying to think of what an irreverent song would be.
Well, like
Renee,
like,
have you been in a church like
not
this?
Not even a Christian.
I have, not like often, but yeah, I have.
Okay. And do you feel the same?
It.
Yeah.
Oh, I enjoy it.
Yeah.
She loves it. I'm old. Yeah. Set in my ways.
But an irreverent song, I don't know.
So I'm trying to think.
I guess what's the definition of that? Like, what does reverent mean? And like, does it mean different things to different people? Or is there an actual
Right.
You know, and who's to say, don't you think it's a positioning of the heart more than it is, like a positioning in the heart in worship than it is what anybody is doing or not doing in the leading of the worship in a way.
So what it says for the definition for reverence says deep respect, honor, profound adoring, such as a bow. So for me, like, I would be more apt to be on the Roman Catholic side where you bow, where you genuflect when you go to the altar. Do you know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. They walk up and they bow and make the sign of the cross. And like, I would be more on that. Like we take this seriously. This is
very
not
liturgical. Very.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so every church has a liturgy. Your liturgy is just your order of service. What you do. Do you sing a song first? Do you have announcements first? Do you have prayer first? Do you have, you know, three songs first? That's your liturgy, your order that you do things in. And sometimes it changes on special Sundays, but for the most part on a normal quote unquote normal Sunday, it's the same, right?
Yeah, you would have been really uncomfortable this Sunday because we had a child dedication and not a infant baptism.
I know, right? I would be. Oh boy. Like, just dip those babies and do the deed, man. God is waiting to mark them. He wants to mark them with
no. We can't go down this road, though. I don't even know why I brought it up.
I know.
That's a different topic.
Renee, you want to talk about baptism too?
No. We're here to talk about music.
I am not knowledgeable enough on that topic, I feel. Not that I'm knowledgeable enough on this topic either, but here I am.
Oh, you'll pretty much be by the time we're done.
No. We'll teach you all about it.
No. So I wonder why you have leaned so far that direction, Lois.
I don't know. So,
because if you go back, we're just talking. We all grew up around, like, sort of similar.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then here I am, you know, and it sounds like Renee could go either way. I mean, even the church she grew up in had both of the organ and the piano. Like, I had piano, you had organ, and she had both. And, like, she can be fine in your church, and she can probably be fine in my church.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
So, which is interesting. And so I don't know, also, you know, she's in her 20s. I'm in my 40s. You're in your 50s.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
that could have something to do with it.
There's something to do with culturally how things have shifted and changed over time or whatever. But it seems like the more they shift in the direction toward my church, the more you're almost going in the opposite direction saying, no. Like, you're like very resistant to that. Because you're afraid that we'll lose the reverence.
Yeah.
Whereas I would say that I think a good balance. Like, I don't want to lose hymns. I love hymns. I think they're beautiful. Mm-hmm. I think that they have been around for a long time and they've stuck for a long time.
That's part of it right there.
Yeah, they're beautiful. They're well-written. They bring a lot of people back to their youth, if that's what they grew up with. Whereas, like, the young kids in a church that do not sing hymns, that's not going to bring them back to their youth.
Right.
You know,
right.
So that'll be kind of interesting to see, like, as time goes on, how people feel.
Yes.
But I love hymns, but I also think that there's a lot of beauty in modern day worship music and praise music and also modern day hymns.
Yes.
There are hymns still being written today.
Yeah. Yeah.
That a lot of people reject because they're not old.
Yeah. And that's to me, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
If you're going to just reject it because it's not old, well, that's silly.
Because it's new and fresh and.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I'm like right in the middle of you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we still do. We do a hymn, definitely at least one hymn every service. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because and the reverent part, Lois, I would say. I mean, both of you really like. The pastor gets up and does a, like, call to worship, like a reading, or might read, like, an old prayer from back and whenever, and just to, you know, center ourselves to this place of, let's put everything to the side of whatever we came in with, and let's worship God, who's worthy to be worshiped, you know? So we're positioning ourselves to that for that end, to that end. So there is a reverence in that. Now, what songs are sung? You know, there's a hymn, and they don't always, it doesn't always start with a hymn and then go more contemporary. They might mix it in wherever they mix it in. And then there's, I really like when they have kind of like a hymn mixed with like, and you probably, I shouldn't say that I think I know what you think, but because I'll just wait to see what you say, but like Amazing Chains or Amazing Grace, My Chains with, Are Gone.
Yeah.
You know how they mix that? There's some of the Amazing Grace, but then they add that new thing to it.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
It's kind of, what is it called when it's like?
Is it like a compilation?
Yeah, but it's, I don't know. I feel like it's contrived. Like it's trying too hard. Like just write another song. You don't have to mix it with the old one.
But I would rather... I would rather they like add a bridge than go and like try to change the song because that happens.
Yeah,
or that's suddenly they're singing a weird tune and that's like, wait, what are we singing?
Yeah, no, and it really is. They're just adding a bridge on the ones that I know of.
Yeah, so yeah, and that's okay. You know, that's cool. But I think you're onto something there, Renee. As far as don't change up stuff so fast that people can't keep up with it.
Yeah,
like changing tunes. Adding new songs, like don't add two new songs every Sunday.
No.
Because you need familiar stuff for people to be able to sing out, you know?
And
if
going
it's
back
all
to,
new stuff, it's hard to sing.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. But even going back to what Renee said, we had went to a conference. It was called Simply Worship Conference for our worship team. And I just go along to everything because why not? I can't even sing. I'm not on any, I don't do any kind of worship anything, but
yeah.
But it was interesting because the guy said, you want to keep hymns in your church because that's the foundation of where we all came from. And it will bring in that generation. It'll make us reflect back to all of the things God has done. And then we want to also have the new stuff because we want to say we keep moving forward as well, right? You don't, just because we're moving forward doesn't mean you forsake what was behind.
Right.
So you take some of that with you and you move forward because some of one generation might really love the hymns and they feel this is church, you know, this is reverent, mm-hmm. this is mm-hmm. home. But mm-hmm. if you don't also think about the younger generations that are, you know, what speaks to them as well, instead of only what speaks to you, but what speaks to them as well, and say, well, let's compromise here a little bit and have some hymns and then also have this so that everybody can be led into this place of worship. And to like constantly do that because we have, you know, 100-year-olds and 2-year-olds in the service and we've got to think about all of them.
Yeah. And that ties into kind of like the, Renee was talking about older hymns, like stuff that's these hymns have stood the test of time. One of these, Shepherd of Tender Youth, is a song that we sing, or hymn that we sing. It was written literally in 200. Wow. 200. I mean, that's old.
Mm.
That's 2000 years. No, 1800 years old. You know,
I don't think I know that song.
You do. Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth through.
Oh, okay, I do recognize that.
Yeah,
the song names.
I know, right? No. And then that, like, "O Come, O Come, Emmanuel" for Christmas song is of the Father's love begotten was 405. "O Come, O Come, Emmanuel" is something like, oh, I gotta find it. "Be Thou My Vision" is 700.
Yeah, it was a really old song.
O Come, Emmanuel was 1,000. So these are like 1,000 to 2,000-year-old songs.
But also
1,800 years old.
Some of them were written, but they were not composed to music until
They're just written as poetry.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then they're like added to a tune.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. Exactly.
So you guys said too something about hymns are still being written today.
Yeah.
So what constitutes a hymn?
Yeah,
how do you know that you're singing a new hymn?
That's a good question.
That is a good question. I guess like I looked it up because that was like the big question. I was like, what makes something acceptable as a hymn compared to just a worship or a praise song? And if I'm remembering correctly, a hymn is very melody-based, melody-driven.
Okay.
It's like you pick a tune and you repeat it four times over.
Yeah. The
chorus.
Yep.
Whereas a more of like a contemporary worship song or just a worship song, it's beat-driven. And then you add in a bridge mm-hmm. or something. So the music suddenly changes. You need someone to lead the song mm-hmm. if you don't know it, which I guess mm-hmm. you could say the same for a new hymn too.
Yeah. But you're not doing the same thing four or five or six yeah. times over again.
Yeah.
So suddenly you're in the middle of, you did this one or two verses, but now you're doing a bridge. So you need somebody to guide you through that.
Yeah.
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 Or you go to those super charismatic churches and they will sing the same thing 400 times.
I know, right?
Until yeah. you yeah. just can't anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Till you're I'm like, exaggerating, obviously, but you know,
drilled into your brain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, what are the songs a little kid sing?
Oh, they're praise
Jesus
songs.
Loves
they're,
me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that repeats, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The mm-hmm. Bible tells me. So there yeah. is something to repeating.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there's something to familiarity, you know,
yeah.
like we tend to like the stuff that we're familiar with.
Yeah.
For sure. Whatever that may be.
Whatever.
So
that
I
is.
I went to a there was someone from the West Coast out here who put together this hymn sing night.
Yeah.
And at my church. And so I was like, oh, I'm gonna go. I had a friend in town. She's like, hey, let's go. So off we went and they started singing one and I looked at my friend and I was like, I don't know this one. Yeah. And I was like, do you? And she's like, yeah. She's in her 60s.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah. The next one. I'm like, do you know this one? She's like, yeah. Every single one. Yeah, yeah, yeah. She knew every single one of them. And all of a sudden the third or fourth one, I was like, hey, I know this one.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah. And it was a newer song?
No.
Or hymn or whatever?
No, it was just a really popular hymn.
Just a, okay.
Like
okay.
Come Thou Fount or something yeah. like that. I yeah. don't remember which one it was, yeah. but I don't know the family that I have that goes to like Go and Road. They mm-hmm. know so many more hymns than I do because that's all they sing. And if you've been going to a church like that your whole life, I could imagine that your repertoire of hymns would be pretty extensive.
Yeah.
But see, I only did hymns as a kid, and by the time I was 17, I'd moved out west and didn't really go to hymn singing churches after that. I mean, not primarily hymn singing, right?
Yes.
But also it's interesting depending on just where you go to church, mm-hmm. whether mm-hmm. like when it comes to like hymns, I mean, because songs we would sing in Washington, I would come here and we never sing them. People don't know them. And I'm yeah. like, what? And then I know there was.
So it's
like
regional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like one of the organists came from Minnesota and somebody was telling me, I didn't hear it from her, but somebody was telling me that she would play songs and her husband was like, why are you playing that song? Nobody knows that. She's like, what do you mean? Everybody knows this song. And so it really is. It's just like, depending on where you are. And so then that's how obviously hymns get introduced and stuff and people get to know them. But then she was having the problem of five new songs nobody knew.
Yeah.
Or didn't know.
She thought everybody was going to know.
Yeah, everybody knew. Yeah, she thought people would know them. But yeah, that was a long time ago. So now.
That's hard.
So if you think about it, if you go to the same church and you have the same organist or piano player, you're probably going to know the hymns that they like.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yep. Whatever they
control the music you love.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
Little did we know.
Yeah.
Lois held the power of my
Lois, heart. You have shaped a whole generation of yeah. hymn singers.
That's right. Proud of it. Oh boy.
No, but the music is a really big deal. Like I'm in the stage of raising young kids. Sometimes the only thing I get out of Sunday morning is the songs that we sing.
Yeah.
Because
you can't hear the sermon because you're taking care of babies or you have them outside.
In and out.
Or,
I'm distracted. Mm-hmm. And so there are Sundays where you go to church and there's songs I don't know. And I like, it's still beautiful, But it's also kind of humorous when you know people don't know the song because it's a lot of mumble singing. And you're like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
It must be a new one.
Yeah.
Type of thing. But also then there are some, like I said, there are songs that I know that maybe other people don't, and I can sing them proudly and loudly and love it. And other people are like, why are we singing the song? Nobody knows the song.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Music is very personal. And I think that's why people get so worked up about it.
Yeah, totally.
Because we want to hear what we like to hear.
Well, so some people say that some of the songs, you know, they're not biblically accurate or correct. Right. You know, they might be heretical almost in their, what they're saying. And so there is something to be said about that.
Yeah, they have
whether
to.
Whether be new or old.
Scripture.
Yeah, new but old. Like someone was saying, you know, there's some bad. Old hymns in that regular book that you start reading. You're like, hang on a second.
Yes.
You're like, what am I singing
give you
right
an
now?
Example. I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
There's an old song in our old red hymnal that we had when I was growing up. And it says, I gave my life for you. It says thee. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? It's Jesus talking. And he says, I gave my life for you. What have you given for me? And it's like, oh, a crap load of sin. I got that taken care of.
That one's what in else the blue one, too.
Is it in the blue book?
Yes, too? That's in the blue book. Oh. Yeah, we sang it at church.
I thought they knew better. I thought it was taken out. That's why I thought it was safe talking about it.
We sang it. We sang it one morning in church. And I was like,
I can't.
I was like, why is this? I was like, this just feels a little strange to me. Like, I recognized the song. I recognized the verses. I was like, I know this song, but it just seemed a little off. And then one of my friends after church, she was just like, I hate that song. I was like, I wasn't the only one.
Yeah.
It seems so strange.
Yeah, exactly.
But then you talk to other people and they're like, oh, I love that song. It speaks to me.
I know. It's so weird. Cause like that, the whole thing is so personal.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah.
So, but I agree. That one rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah. I've also heard
anything.
Yeah. I have another definition of hymn that I've heard, and I don't know if it's accurate, but I've heard that hymns are addressed to God and songs are sung about God. So if you sing, what was the one you sang earlier? Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
Yeah.
We're addressing God there. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name. So that technically would be a hymn under that definition.
That's from the Purple Praise Book.
I know. They got a hymn. They slipped a hymn in there somehow. Oops.
No, almost all of the songs are like that.
I know they are. There's a lot of, if that's the, and I, like I said, I don't know if that's the definition or not. I looked it up and I couldn't find any definitive answer.
I had looked up what a definition of a hymn is, and it says a song of praise to God, and then a metrical composition adapted for singing in a religious service.
Okay.
And then worship means to honor or show reverence for as a divine being or a supernatural power.
Okay.
So, a song of praise to God.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I feel as though there probably are hymns that are considered me songs.
Can you explain that?
Well, because that's a big complaint people have about modern hymn or modern music is that it's about me. It's my feelings.
Right.
But I feel as though there are hymns that are like that too. There's a lot of psalms that are like that.
Yes.
And so I guess that would kind of go against that definition. If that were the case.
Right. And then there's the, who is it? Is it Calvinist? Reformed? Who is it that only sings hymns? There's a whole church body.
Your church.
No. I'm sorry, not hymns. Psalms. Psalms. They only sing psalms.
Oh.
Like word for word psalms out of the scripture.
Oh, interesting.
Yes, and it's
probably the Jewish Orthodox, I bet. They probably only sing, and they do it all in whatever language that is. Greek?
Yeah.
Greek Orthodox?
But the scripture would be Hebrew if it was
old. Hebrew. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, it would be. The Psalms are written in Hebrew.
So, yeah, I don't know. I just, all I can picture when you say that is the, like, Jewish people singing their Torah over the whatever, their feasts.
Yes. So Presbyterian, it's a Calvinist denomination, uses only Psalms.
Presbyterian?
Presbyterians?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's no musical accompaniment.
There's probably a huge wide range of Presbyterian.
There probably is. But this is the Presbyterian Church in North America says only sing Psalms, and they also don't use instruments. No instruments.
I wonder why.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's
David sang and danced before the Lord.
I know, and he used a harp and he
tambourines and all sorts lyre. Of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, stringed instruments and all sorts of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So I think a lot of it is just tradition and what you're used to and what you feel comfortable in and how you feel like you're led into worship easily. So you might feel distracted by so many different things going on at my church. And that might be part of why you feel like it's doesn't lead you into a place of worship. It's more just distraction and noise and feels like a concert and whatever to you. Cause like, I don't feel that way. Like, I've been to my church for a concert. Mm-hmm. Phil Wickham was there. And when you see Phil Wickham, it does feel like a concert, but even Phil Wickham in the middle of his concert gives testimony and then goes into a worship song. And now we're in worship in the middle of a concert. I can feel the difference there. The one is like all eyes are on him and what he's doing. The other one is all eyes are on God and we're worshiping.
So. Yeah, I have experienced a church where you do attend it and it does feel like it's a concert. And I think a big portion of like what plays into that is how the worship leader leads. Some worship leaders are very difficult to follow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think personally, like I believe a worship leader should be there to lead the song so people can sing along. And it's hard when they're like adding on little things and it's like, that's when it feels more like a concert.
Yeah, absolutely. Because then there's no way you're following them at that point.
Yes.
No, a good worship leader will, even if they decide to do the chorus another time or whatever, like they're saying like, let's do that again. And they're saying that like while we're singing the last thing, we know what we're doing.
Yes.
You know?
So much agree.
One of my closest friends is the worship leader. So I talked to her quite a bit. We're actually doing a joint Christmas, what are we calling it? Together in Advent, the first day of Advent, December 1st, we're doing the Jaffrey Bible Church worship team and the Hope worship team are getting together and having a night of worship, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Because unity in the body and all of that. Mm-hmm. I love when churches work together instead of dividing and us against them and all that. I think Jesus loves when he sees walls being broken down and people being like, even the three of us talking and we come from different backgrounds and we do whatever. I still go to Lois's church and I still worship and I still love the people there. And, you know,
Yep.
And I don't know that Lois would feel the same if she comes to visit me.
I won't know very many. You might know a few more at mine than I know in yours, but that's not necessarily true either.
Cause that's I was going to say
there's a lot of people there that I know. There's a lot of names that you've talked about of people that I'm familiar with. So,
yeah.
Yeah. I was just in New Hampshire actually, but I went to Ashburnham.
That's where
a lot of my family goes. So.
Yeah.
So I drove by Hope a lot though.
Yeah. that's one of the things we have going for us. It's a good location.
She should have stopped in and said hi.
Yeah. Like you were just here.
Yeah. Like I got home. It was like a couple weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So like
probably when you were in South Carolina.
Probably. I've been traveling a lot too.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I was in South Carolina and Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, no, I'm doing my math. It was like a month ago.
Yeah, I love that. I'm like, the other day, like last year.
Yeah. Going fast.
2007.
Yeah, just the other day.
Yeah. That's how it goes. Oh, man.
But yeah, I don't know.
I don't know that we're going to solve any, you know, controversies or.
Well, I do have one more question, though, that I wanted to pose and see what you guys think.
Let's do it.
So, some people are very much like Bethel, for instance. Mm-hmm. They're like, Bethel is bad for whatever reason, that they preach heresy and their songs are heretical, because there's a couple songs that are heretical. Mm-hmm. But then they say, so you ever can never sing any Bethel songs. But right. Like, what if there's a Bethel song? It's completely biblically fine. There's nothing inaccurate with it. Can you not sing that because they have other bad songs? Is there a reason behind that that you think is legit?
I think that if you are going to do that, I guarantee that we do not agree with everybody who wrote the songs of
in our hymnal.
Yes. We don't know
them. In our hymnal. We don't know them and we don't agree with them, probably.
But I do think if there is someone who is out there who is blatantly disrespectful to God, I don't want to support them.
Yeah.
They can sing or, you know, claim that they believe in God, but then their songs don't line up with that. Then I'm not going to support that, even if maybe they have a gem in there.
Yeah.
But like I know Bethel wrote Goodness of God. And I love that song.
Mm-hmm.
I love that song.
We just sang it on Sunday.
It's like one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, that is a question that I think a lot of people struggle with.
I agree.
It's like, who are you supporting? But it's like, if I sing the song, am I supporting them?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not paying them to sing the song. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, some people would say the CCL license that you pay for, you know, you're paying them however much, like
but you're paying it to CCLI and that's going to every artist that you support.
I mean, so Lois and I just did a book review on a book that Lois did not like.
Yeah.
That I like.
Yeah.
I have said I didn't agree with everything in it by any stretch.
Yeah, exactly.
But I thought about this after, and here's what I really settled on. Is the book, in general, is that book pushing me into the face of God and helping me grow in that way? Is it helping me? Is it making me seek truth? You know, that kind of, like, all of these things. And it's all like, yes, yes, yes. It's not leading me astray. It's not leading me on the wide path to destruction. It's not even the parts I don't agree with. Mm-hmm. And so just because I don't agree with part of it doesn't mean I just take what I can, take the good and leave the bad and say, yeah, I don't agree with that part. And so I feel the same way about music, that if there's some bad songs, well, there's some bad songs. Or if there's, you know, scandal that happened in certain churches and, you know, oh, we don't want to affiliate now. Well, I don't. If that's the case, then if a believer even sins, then none of my testimony ever matters ever again.
But there's no does sin. We know this. We confess that we sin much every day.
Right. So don't some of these people, right?
They do. They do. If they're alive and they're breathing, they do. Mm-hmm. They might not know it. They might not realize it or understand it, but they do.
Mm-hmm.
Because our every waking thought is not about God.
Right. So my point is, like, you can't find any person that's perfect. You know what I mean? Yeah. So yeah, Bible, the only book I can say irrefutably is truth is the Bible.
That's
any other book, like, we're going to argue about the good and the bad of that or music, the good and the bad of that, unless it's straight out of the Psalms.
That's why they sing only Psalms. That's exactly why, because the other people write stuff and it's no longer perfect.
Yeah.
But we have the Holy Spirit.
I know we do. And we trust the Holy Spirit to guide people in writing hymns today or praise songs today.
And even that hymn you guys were talking about that I don't know, because shocker, I don't know that hymn.
Yeah.
you know, some people said, oh, that one really speaks to me. Mm-hmm. Well, okay. You know, if the Holy Spirit in them, like if that still is ministering in some way and they're just like not really honing in on that one line, so it's not negatively affecting them because they're not maybe paying attention to that or seeing it. There's like, you know, like our eyes aren't open to things until our eyes are open to things.
Yeah.
Like what I knew when I was 20 is different than what I know when I'm 48. Mm-hmm. Right. Things that I thought, and it doesn't, I don't want to come across as like, oh, I'm so enlightened now. Like, that's right. Not what I'm trying to say. I'm just trying to say like things that weren't perfect led me toward God. You know, things that weren't perfect still helped me like grow in grace and knowledge. Mm-hmm. That I see differently now looking back, but I don't know if that makes any sense, but
yeah.
God can use anything. I guess that's the point.
Totally. Totally. And one example is, okay, God uses the mouths of pastors to preach his word to us, but he also used the donkey one time, you know, when there wasn't a pastor handy. Right.
Yeah.
So he can use anything.
Mm-hmm. And he will. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, who gets credit for writing most of the Psalms? David, right? Mm-hmm. David was far from perfect.
Oh,
he
yeah.
Was, mm-hmm. He was kind of a messed up. Mm-hmm. He's a messed up man. Mm-hmm. And so even that, you could say the same thing. Okay, yeah, well.
True.
They're singing the Psalms in church.
Yeah.
And David's a sinner.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Do we don't really know,
want to affiliate
wrote,
with David? No.
Right? Maybe he wrote some things that were just not great and they didn't make it into the Bible. You never know.
True.
Right. I mean, let's be real here. We're all human.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we believe that those ones that are in the Bible are written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit,
yes,
with the guidance of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You know, and that they're God's word.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, singing the Psalms is a safe bet. I'm just
yes,
saying.
Yes. Right? Yes. We don't have to throw that hymnal away.
But we don't have to get so like tied up in being so scared of singing
yes.
something wrong or whatever that we have to confine ourselves to a certain thing. I think there right. should still be freedom in worship.
Yeah.
There should be. But
now,
also
we all have a line, though, that we'll draw in the sand. And you know what my line is?
What's that?
It's pretty far out.
Okay.
I can't tolerate like flag waving. Mm. Have you ever been in a service where someone flag waves?
No.
Like okay. An American flag?
No.
What kind
like,
of flag?
Okay, let me tell you.
Christian flag?
No. Like, have you ever seen like aerial silks?
Oh, it's like a yeah. banner or something?
So, yeah. So, like a banner, but it's just like
okay.
red or purple or
okay.
whatever.
Yeah.
And it's and they just like dance before the Lord and wave their, and I'm laughing because it's like what I do when I'm uncomfortable sometimes.
Yeah.
So they do this during worship and it's very distracting.
Yeah.
That's my line.
Mm-hmm. Can't say
oh, want to dance? You want to raise your hands? You want to shout hallelujah? You want to get on your knees? You want to clap? You want to sit there in silence with your head bowed? I don't, all of it's fine with me, but flag waving is my line in the sand.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Well, mine is when the people refuse to sing along with whoever is playing or leading.
What do you mean? And just like sing their own march to the beat of their own drummer or what?
Yeah, so you have someone say your organist plays fast and you have the people that are just no, this is the pace we sing the song no matter how fast the organist plays, or you have the opposite where it's everybody, this organist plays slower, sing with the organist. I don't care who you are, I don't care what pace you like, just sing with the organist.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you're the only one that sounds ridiculous.
Yeah.
Do you think? Yeah, so I've been there. I've heard that. And I always just thought maybe they just don't know how to keep time.
I mean, okay, that's the night. That's nice.
That's putting the best construction on it.
But I haven't been around hymn singers as much as y'all. So there may just be a, this is how we sing it in Minnesota. And so we don't care if we're in Ironwood or this is how we're going to sing it. I mean, there might be some of that. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I'm just like, can we just try?
So I don't ever know who I'm supposed to be singing along with. And it makes me feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, if you have a group of people leading and they're doing different parts and stuff, yeah, then you have to figure out who you're supposed to be.
No, like when I'm at a hymn thing.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And there's like just a piano playing or just an organ playing. And I'm in the midst of people.
Yeah.
And the person behind me singing
too fast and too slow.
Thing, and then they're singing a, and then I try to sing along with the organ, but I feel like I'm the only one sometimes.
Yeah, it's distracting. Yes. That's what
and
I mean.
You get
it's
pulled like, all over.
Yeah.
I just thought ahead, I was just like, they don't know how to keep time. They need a drum.
Yeah. That's good. That'll solve the issue. Okay.
That'll split a church there.
I was going to say, march out the door and never come back. So you're probably
if they march to the beat, it's fine. No.
Oh boy.
No, I never knew. I've always wanted to ask that question, like why that happens, but I just didn't feel like it was my place.
This was
take my hair down. I was getting such a headache and I look like a hot mess now.
You're fine. We don't care.
I did see something like it was something that it came up on my TikTok about, it was a worship leader and just advising worship teams on how to pick their music. Mm-hmm. And he was saying how there's five, I don't know, what'd you say, genres of worship music. And he said, there's God songs, me songs, hybrids, which is like a mix of both, statement songs, and then there's prayers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really interesting. And I feel as though it's very true. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people would assume that hymns are just all God songs. And I disagree with that. I think hymns are a lot of hybrid. Mm-hmm. It's like, even like, be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. It's talking about myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know? But it's addressed to God.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah,
it has both in it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a hybrid.
Mm-hmm. But then, so that's another thing is, so then the goodness of God was given as an example of a me song, which makes sense. But then it's like, it did, because it's, I have lived in the goodness of God. And it's like, but all my life you have been faithful. All my life you've been so good. So I'm like, that would be a hybrid.
Yeah, that would be a hybrid. You are
talking to God.
Yeah.
So I just thought that was kind of interesting. But then he was just saying how he was like, different types of songs will speak to different people in your congregation. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, if you go back and you haven't sang a God song in four Sundays, he was like, name your God. Like, you're missing that. You need to sing a song that is just stating who God is. Mm-hmm. But then other people, they're like, they really need that prayerful. Mm-hmm. Really need the prayerful songs, you know? Mm-hmm. And so to go only in one direction is a disservice to the other people in your congregation, which I would agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would agree
with that. So he suggested using some of each category?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. He was just explaining like the importance of that because everybody is different in what they love and what they are spoken to. Kind of how you were saying, Stacey, how you guys do both like hymns and worship.
Well, and then even depending on what season of your life you're in, right?
Yeah.
There's certain songs that speak to, there's certain songs that are very joyful, you know, shout joys to the Lord, blah, whatever. And then there's other ones that are like those songs that speak to the people that are in sorrow.
Yeah.
And they really like hit a place when you're in that sorrow that speaks to you as well and really ministers to your soul.
Mm-hmm.
And after my mom died a few years ago, I remember being in the service and a song would hit me so hard that I was singing to God that I was so overwhelmed with emotion that I had to leave the service. I couldn't get myself together. Other times I would just sit and silently weep, you know, because music is that powerful.
Yes.
Yeah.
To minister to the soul. So yes, we worship God, but there is something that happens there. And then the other big difference is we all sing. I don't care who you are, whether we can actually do it well or not. We all sing in our cars or sing in the shower or sing to our kids or whatever, right?
Yep.
But there's something different about corporate worship.
Yes. It gives you chills. At least it gives me chills.
Yeah. Like why do you think,
I don't know. I think it's just, it's the unity of like all of these people also are in this moment worshiping God together. And I think that's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God's people praising him together.
Yeah.
And music can be very unifying. I mean, like you said, it can be divisive as well. And churches have divided over organ or no organ or piano or drums or, you know, these songs or those songs or whatever, for sure. But I think that's the enemy's tactics to divide us like that, because really it should be unifying.
Yeah.
I think everybody's just afraid of losing the music that they love.
That could, that could be.
I think that's a big part of it.
We want our comfort.
Yeah. And so you have the 70 and 80 year olds saying, wait, we're never going to sing those old songs. You know.
But like, there are a lot of hymns that we do not sing anymore, that we simply do not know. Yeah. And that's that emotion and that feeling that was written with those hymns has, in a sense, been forgotten. So it is true. Sometimes we move on and we just forget. And that is sad. And that is really hard.
Well, time marches on. For sure.
So like, I understand why people fight so hard to keep what they love to hear.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, if you fight too hard, you're missing out on the beauty of what is new.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
and what's the voice of the next generation? There is a different voice with every generation when it comes to music. And it's not just, it's in Christian music too. You know, I remember someone back in the day when Christian rock came out, and I remember Petra, and they said, Christian rock, that's an oxymoron. Can't be such a thing. Right. And I think there can be, you know, you have to be careful what you're singing, because what you do sing to yourself, like, and sing to others, it's something that you remember. Like, I have good and bad songs in my head from the 80s.
Yes.
And I hear one little bit of it, and I'm singing that song in my head like I remember it from, I hadn't heard it in so long. So there's something about, wasn't it you I was saying, like, if every scripture was put to a song, I'd probably be able to memorize the whole Bible.
The whole Bible,
yeah. And then someone sent me something that someone did that. They did the entire Bible to song.
Well, there you go. Get started on your memorization.
But it's not my kind of music.
Rewrite it.
I don't even know what the difference between any music things are. I'm always like, my friend laughs at me so hard. She's classically trained opera singer, and she's a worship leader and whatever. And she just dies at me. I'm just like, the tempo. And she's like, that's not the tempo. I'm like, well, whatever the...
The thing. It's the thing.
I'm never using the right words. My son's even a drummer, and he's rolling his eyes at me all the time. So,
but you,
I just know I love music.
Yeah. And you brought up something really important. The problem with music, part of the problem with music, is people love what they love. But what if you grew up in a church that was singing songs that were not helpful, beneficial, uplifting, strengthening for your faith? Those are the songs that are in your head. Those songs you learned as a child. And that, to me, is why I wanted to have this conversation. Because what we put in our I've been involved in music. You can influence music in your church, Stacey. Even though you're not on the worship team, you can influence music in your church by talking to them.
Oh, yeah, I know.
And Renee, you can influence music in your church by talking to the musicians. And if there's a song that comes up that's not comforting, there are songs where I think, man, if I was reciting this at 2 a.m, I have fear in my heart. because it's not a comforting. So when it says, what have you done for Jesus? I don't want to think that at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Because I want to think Jesus has done everything for me to save me mm-hmm. at 2 a.m. I don't have to do anything to earn his cleansing righteousness. Mm-hmm. He's given it as a free gift. And that's where I think that the danger with music, lay people who have not been taught can easily hear songs and love songs that are teaching them less than beneficial and uplifting and helpful sentiments.
It comes right back to, are you reading and studying your Bible? If you yes. don't know the yes. scripture, yes. you're not you going to discern when you see something that's contrary to it.
Exactly. Amen. Amen. Mm. That's so, it. You have to know the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Because if you know the Bible and then all of a sudden you hear something, you're like, wait a second, that's not right.
Yeah, yeah, totally. But you don't, if you don't know the Bible, then you don't know the difference.
What do you think of the song? Do you know the song? Do you know the song, I Speak the Name of Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
So that has been a song that some people, a couple people have said that they have a problem with that song because they act like, oh, the way that it says, I speak the name of Jesus over this and over that and whatever. They're like, the name of Jesus isn't just some sort of like magic word that you can just speak over things. Like it's some kind of almost using it as of some kind of witchcraft or something. And I kind of don't fully understand where they're coming from on that. Although it's not my favorite song. So like, I could care less if we don't ever sing it. It's not my favorite song, but like, right. I'm not going to have that much of a problem with it because I get where the artist is coming from, but our beautiful worship leaders are like, if some people in the congregation have a problem with it, like by all means, let's just not. There's a million other songs we could sing.
Yeah. Right.
And we want to keep unity. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so there should be a discussion. Definitely. Why do you have a problem with that? Like, let's have a discussion about it. Mm-hmm. Because then you don't want the person who like every song they think there's a demon around every corner and a bad, you know,
bad message. Yeah.
But do think about it. What was Satan before he got thrown down?
An angel of light.
He was the worship director.
Yes. He was powerfully mm-hmm. used
in music. Yeah. I can't remember what it says exactly about him, but like he was the music guy.
Yeah.
So I think he gets thrown down.
Yeah.
Of course, he's going to try to use it to be divisive.
Right.
Of course, he's going to try to, because the best deceptions ever that the enemy ever uses have part truth.
Yes. You just take the truth and tweak it a tiny bit. So it's no longer pure. Yep.
Just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they won't notice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then they'll have that playing in their head for the rest of their life because it's music, and especially the music we hear when we're certain ages. I don't think you ever shake it.
Yeah, I agree.
Now I don't remember anything. But when I was younger,
pour the music in now.
Pour it in. I got to sing those same songs a million times so that
Well, they say that that's what'll come out. Like if you, like when you get old, though, that's what you'll remember.
Yeah.
Music you listen to.
Mm-hmm.
That's just, again.
And that's like, why I'm powerful. Like, this is important stuff, man. Yeah, I don't want to be 92, you know, singing, I gave my life for you. What did you give for me?
That's just Lois's favorite song for sure.
I am not a fan.
Oh, it's funny.
I think music has some of the same emotional stuff that we talked about with the secrets of the secret place, though, too. I think there are songs that are intended to stir up your emotions. They're purely written, purely for that purpose.
Do you have a problem with that?
Yeah, I do.
Why?
Because I don't think it should be. I think music that stirs emotion is beautiful and lovely and good and wholesome. I don't think it should be written to stir emotion. I feel like that's contrived.
And you think people are being manipulated?
Yeah, yeah. Because I think you'll feel the emotion whether you actually feel the emotion or not, because we're emotional beings, and certain words, certain phrases, certain tunes. I mean, you play a minor key song compared to a major key song, and the minor key song sounds really melancholy and sad. People say it sounds sad. And the major key is like how great that were. It's like happy, and it's like full of like joy and praise. And
don't you? So don't you think How Great Thou Art stirs emotion?
Yes, totally. But I don't think it was written to stir emotion.
How do you know?
For that direct purpose.
Well,
I don't know.
I think it's okay. Well, I'm no musician, but right. It seems to me that when people are like putting the words to a tune, they are trying to do it in a way that's expressing how they're feeling in that moment and why they're writing that song. So it is in some ways like written to give that emotion, expressing because that's the emotion they're emotion. Trying to,
yeah.
Yeah. They're trying to express their own emotion in that, whether it be like sorrowful or like builds up to whatever, mm-hmm. like How Great Thou Art. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I'm not sure there's a huge difference between.
Yeah,
go. Yeah.
Well, just because like, if you were to sing a sad song to a very happy, upbeat pace rhythm, it would be so jarring and jolting. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, I do think it mm-hmm. is necessary to match like
yeah.
the music with the words. Because mm-hmm. otherwise it's like, what is happening? Like your brain won't be able to make sense of it.
Yeah. I'll give you an example. One of my kids turned 40. You'll never guess crazy. Who that was. But anyways, I wanted our family to learn Happy Birthday to You in a minor key because he's very musical. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that would be so cool because you're so not expecting it. It's like a different tune. It's like.
Did you do it?
No, I didn't get the family. I didn't get the family to learn it early. I would have had to send it to the family and I didn't get it done early enough. So it ended up just being, I kind of sang it just to him like, I wanted to do this with the whole family, but I didn't get it done. Yeah. So,
was it a depressing happy birthday song?
Yes, it's horribly depressing.
That key is sad.
Yes, it's a minor key tune, and it just is like makes your like say what? Wait, what? What? What is that? That's not happy birthday. It's too sad.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, I think all music is written to evoke emotion.
So praise songs that are written specifically to make an emotional experience. That's all music, apparently.
So the big difference is, are the songs pointing you toward God? You know, is it positioned in a way that, there might be some component of like, oh, my soul. But God, mm-hmm. you're great, right? Like I think that's whatever. But, you know, you've been hearing a lot about people deconstructing from their faith. Mm-hmm. And one guy who was super popular, and of course I can't remember his name at the moment, said he was raised in church and he says he was, you know, born again and all of this. And he loved the worship part of church the most and it would give him such this emotion and he loved it and whatever. And then he said, then he went to a rock concert and he realized he had the exact same sensation. And in that very moment, he said, oh, you can have this feeling no matter which way you go. So it doesn't matter. And he begins to deconstruct. Mm-hmm. And I think, okay, he probably wasn't ever saved for one, because there, you know, there's a difference between having an emotion to a Led Zeppelin song versus having an emotion to a hymn, you know, that there's like one is completely self-serving and the other one is God glorifying.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they all stir emotion.
Yeah.
Whether they're godly or not godly, they can stir emotion. So we do have to be careful that we are directing our adoration to the right place.
Yes.
You know, that we're not adoring rock, like we're not adoring the people that are singing or performing or whatever, that we're actually like pointed heavenward.
Yes.
but worship leaders and like the band and stuff. I super appreciate all the hard work that they put in to lead us into that time. I really.
Yeah.
Well, they're incredibly gifted. Like just it's, super gifted. It's incredible.
Yeah.
It just blows my mind. I've been, I've done a couple worship nights with a good friend of mine, and she can take any song out there and just play it. This is mind-blowing to me. I'm like, how do you do that? It's just,
I know.
It's unreal.
All my friends are on the worship team. I'm an administrator. Mm-hmm. I'm no bones in this body. I make a joyful noise.
That's all God asks of you, right?
I stand in the front row on purpose because nobody can, I'm not yelling it into in someone it, else's ears.
Anybody's ear. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
And the worship team can't hear me because they have those in-ear things.
Yeah. There you go.
I found my spot. Yeah, no, it's, this has been interesting though. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've learned a thing or two.
Yeah. And I, like I said, I don't think we're necessarily going to solve anything. We're not going to eliminate the controversy, but maybe people will have a little better idea of what they like, why they like it, you know, why it's important.
And maybe give grace to one another and realize a lot of it's preference.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
A lot of it is preference. Because I could love a song and you guys be like, please no.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, doesn't make the song bad. It's just not your preference.
Yeah. But. Like I like Billy Joel. I mean, don't judge me.
There you go. I do too.
Do you?
Yep.
I think he was long before my time.
Yeah.
A little bit.
You'll have to give him a listen. He's pretty good.
Yeah, he's pretty talented.
I actually had a secret.
You know Piano Man.
Yeah, you know Piano Man.
I definitely know some Billy Joel songs.
You probably know quite a few of his.
Yeah.
He's pretty well known.
Yeah.
He's but I mean, I liked Billy Joel like when I was like so young that it was embarrassing. Like I shouldn't like Billy Joel because that's like what my parents like.
Yeah,
so I like privately liked Billy Joel for a long time. Secret. I'm just coming out now.
Yeah. There you go.
This is my coming out.
Yeah. She is allowing people to know her true inner music love.
Yep. But music is a funny thing, isn't it?
It I mean, sure is.
But let's like rewind even farther back. When I was like 6 years old, my mom used to bring me garage sailing all the time, right? And they'd give you like $2. Hey, buy whatever you want, you know? So you'd hold on to that until you found something you really wanted. I found this stack of records. They were all in a box. Like it was a whole collection. And they were Bach, Beethoven, Mozart, all of that, all the classics. And we had a record player and I would just go home and put plug the headphones into the stereo and listen to those.
Classical.
At 6 years old, I just loved them.
Yes.
So much that when I was in high school, my parents bought me the whole set on CD.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, CD. Those are long gone too. Who has that anymore? I don't have a CD player.
That's so funny. One of my kids did the same thing. They were even younger. They were like 2 or 3 and they
don't I share a birthday with her?
You do, but I'm not using her name.
Then my son too.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
All of the birthdays.
The coolest people are all born.
There you go.
I'm so humble, Renee.
Yes. Yes, she is. You'll get to know that about Stacy. No, it's she did the same thing. She listened to this classical. It was Latin. It was there was Latin songs on there. There were
German songs. I was listening to stuff in like different languages and just thought it was the greatest. I remember my mom must have been like, "You are such a strange child."
Right.
She probably thought you were going to be a musical prodigy.
She probably thought I was going to be a genius. And then she was so disappointed.
Right. Oh. You're supposed to be writing music. What are you doing? You're not.
She should have put me in music lessons.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no.
Well, thank you so much for talking about music with us today, Renee, and for coming on our podcast.
It was really fun. I didn't quite know what I was going to say, but
you know what?
We don't either.
Yeah. And we just literally grab our coffee or water and sit here and chat, and it's great.
That's the best, though. You don't, I mean, it's just fun to get together with people that I don't know and kind of sit around the coffee table and have a chat, you know? I learned stuff. I learned stuff from you. I like really appreciated you coming on here and sharing your thoughts and opinions and ideas.
Yeah, it was really fun. I always enjoy listening to you guys. So,
Well, thank you.
Listen to your rambles every Friday.
Well, let us know some other good topics, because this was a good one. But
yeah.
But she probably won't, though, because Neil Roper ended up coming back on. Yeah, oh, you want to talk about that, do you?
Yeah, right? Oh, that's funny.
No, this was fun. When I had approached Lois about it, I just thought that you guys would enjoy the conversation. I didn't expect to be on it, to be honest.
Well, we enjoyed the conversation with you.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I feel like I learned some things, too. So
yeah, awesome. Cool.
All right, well, have a good night.
Yes. Take care.
Okay. You too.
Bye. See ya.